I believe that the bureaucrats and the left and the Marxists are all moving together in a consolidated way. And they just saw that by using healthcare, they can impose centralized control in a variety of ways. And using the pandemic and constantly putting the public in fear, the public that is fearful is willing to do things that they wouldn't otherwise do.
Welcome, everybody, to Conversations That Matter. I am your host, Alex Newman, senior editor at the New American Magazine. We have a very special guest joining us today. We had her on years ago from one of the Red Pill Expos, but her name is Twyla Braze. She's a registered nurse. She does a lot of things. She's got an incredible bio. She's also the head of the Citizens Council for Health Freedom, a wonderful organization on the front lines of trying to protect our medical freedom. It's just such an important battle, as we all learned over the last few years with the word that we're not allowed to say. Well, I guess we're kicked off of YouTube now anyway, so I'll say COVID. So she is, again, the president, co-founder of the Citizens Council for Health Freedom, public health nurse. And she's also wrote a book, Big Brother in the Exam Room, The Dangerous Truth About Electronic Health Records, 8-time award-winning book. Great stuff that she does. Twyla, welcome to the program. Thank you so much for joining us. I want to start with the big news out of the White House. Joe Biden has just created a new permanent pandemic office. It's almost like they know something is coming. What are we to make of this?
Well, I think it's interesting because I'm not exactly sure what it all says, but, you know, the CDC is supposed to be responsible. It's the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, right? This is what the CDC is supposed to be responsible for. And yet now we have got, because Congress actually put it in, we've given the White House a permanent office for pandemic control and pandemic response. And so what is this? Do we have dueling organizations? There's $500 million that is going into this office. It will create a cast and crew of bureaucrats whose sole job is all about pandemics. That's all that they're there for. And so they're going to be looking for everything that they can find. They'll be announcing it. I think there'll be a lot of fear mongering going on. Is this just because they don't trust the CDC, or is this because they want to have many, many more dollars and many, many more bureaucrats all in this whole thing about pandemic control? And the thing that I would say is they did see what kind of power that they had through the pandemic. And I don't think that they want to let go of it. And so I think that they're just building their power through adding this office.
Yeah, it sure seems that way. And, you know, one of the things that I've been troubled with is there seems to be a growing role for the military in this. Of course, we saw that very clearly during Operation Warp Speed. You know, the military ran a big part of this program. You know, I don't know. I'm not in public health. I never have been. I've always been very skeptical of the whole idea of public health. But do you think it's appropriate to have the military playing such a big role in healthcare decision? I mean, and I remember even back during the swine flu, they were talking about using military personnel to go out and inject people with the swine flu vaccines, which, of course, I wasn't going to take then. I'm not going to take it now. But what are your thoughts on the growing role of the military in all of this? It to me, seems like the militarization of healthcare, which just seems like a bad idea. What are your thoughts?
Well, I've been concerned ever since 2001, when the CDC put out their Model State Emergency Health Powers Act. And they asked every state to pass it, and they included language in there that empowered and mobilized the National Guard in every state to take orders from the Commissioner of Health in every state. And so I think the CDC looks as this at the military as a way that they can strengthen their power over the people. So I don't like it. I don't think it's the right thing to do. The military should be about defending the country against, you know, things that require guns, not things that require shots. And so the shots should be our entire medical workforce, our healthcare workforce. It should not be the military.
Yeah, that, you know, that's the sense that I get too, not being an expert in any of this. Just wonder, you know, why are guys who normally ride around in attack helicopters and tanks being put in charge of medical things? It's just, I don't know, very bizarre. Twyla, on this subject, you know, this whole pandemic subject, it seems to me very much like they're psychologically preparing us for the next one. I mean, Bill Gates has got his book about it. I heard him on a panel discussion the other day. You know, if we want to avoid the next pandemic, we just got to do what Australia did, which is basically build concentration camps and beat up pregnant women who go out without face masks and things like this. Do you suppose they're getting ready for the next pandemic? And what is that going to look like? I mean, are they going to try to pull a COVID again? Did people wise up after the last one? Will they tolerate that? What do you think?
Well, you know, I share the concerns that you do, and I look at the National Defense Authorization Act that was signed in December of 2023 and how it really tries to put the president into a spot. It's kind of interesting because it actually tells the president that the president has to come out with the plan for following the international health regulations put out by the World Health Organization. There's a bunch of things that the president's office is supposed to do, which I think is lined up with this whole idea about giving him this new Office of Pandemic Preparedness and Control, et cetera. And so I think that they are gaming up. I don't necessarily think that if we had a Republican in charge, that we would be seeing the same direction. But I believe that the bureaucrats and the left and the Marxists are all moving together in a consolidated way. And they just saw that by using healthcare, they can impose centralized control in a variety of ways, and using the pandemic and constantly putting the public in fear. The public that is fearful is willing to do things that they wouldn't otherwise do. They're willing to give up rights they wouldn't otherwise give up. And they're also willing to come against their neighbors and their family and their friends in ways that they were never able to do and willing to do before. As a matter of fact, I talked to a store owner who said that since the pandemic, she said she can't believe the way people treat her. And they come to her. It's one of these consignment places. And she said, you just wouldn't believe what people act like now. And they're impatient now. And they talk about others and they talk about my staff and they're just rude. And she said it was never that way. And I think that has been a training that has come out of the pandemic as all the people emerged to try and tell other people how they had to live. And they suddenly got a lease or an ability, a power to do this. And they were empowered to do it by a government who really wanted them to report their neighbors. Really. So that's part of what we started down here. And it's a terrible path for the American people.
Yeah, it is. It's actually frightening, I think. Before we go to break, Twyla, what's your sense about where Americans are at? You know, I've seen the polls, and from talking to normal people, I do get the sense that a lot of people are very skeptical of the government now. You know, everybody remembers, I mean, everybody with a brain at least remembers that we were told that if you take this shot, you're not going to get COVID. And then it was, oh, well, you might get it, but it won't be as bad. Well, you are still going to get it. Just the lies just piled up and piled up. But, you know, now there's efforts to bring about some accountability here. Senator Rand Paul just referred Dr. Fauci for a criminal prosecution for lying to Congress. So, I mean, a lot of this is starting to come out. But what's your sense about where the American people are at? Do you think if they came up with a new and improved fear-mongering exercise, would Americans go along with it again? Or would we see more pushback this time?
I think that we would see more pushback. I think there are people who really do not ever again want to mask their children. They do not ever again want to take their children out of school and have them miss a year or more of real education. They saw the teachers who were not actually educating them well. They learned what was happening in the schools. I think it would be a larger contingent that would say no. I mean, it won't be like, you know, let's just wait 15 days to flatten the curve. They'll be like, I'm not waiting. I'm not flattening no curve. I'm not going there. I'm not going home. I'm staying. There would probably be more lawsuits as more people decide to stand up for their businesses. They saw all the businesses that lost, and some of them were so close to being lost, and they're not going to be willing to do it again. But there will be those who will go along with it, hook, line, and sinker, and they will be there to harangue everybody and to try to get everybody to act the way they want them to act. But I do feel like there will be more pushback if it happens again.
Yeah. And, you know, to your point, I just got off an airplane yesterday, and you're still seeing every once in a while these people with a face mask. And, you know, I was actually at the airport when that judge in Florida, that federal judge, said the mask mandates were unconstitutional. And I'd say 99 out of 100 people ripped off the dumb face diaper and celebrated. I'm like, oh, nobody believes the media and the government anymore. That's good. But there, you know, there still are the ones that are, they're riding in the car all by themselves wearing the mask. It's terrible. When we get back from the break, I want to talk to you about rising insurance premiums. You know, it seems like, and I don't think I'm just observing this, I think it's objective, that prices are going up. We're getting less and less benefits. So when we get back, I want to talk to you about that and also just medical freedom more broadly. Folks, stay with us. We'll be right back here on Conversations That Matter with our guest, Twyla Brace.
They say I'm part of a global plan. I don't think so. It's too hot. It's too cold. You know what? The weather changes.
Here's the news, Dad.
Nope. It's hard to tell what's real and what's fake these days.
Ditch the fake news and always get the truth. Go to thenewamerican.com.
Twyla, another attack on our health freedom that has really disturbed me. I just got back from the Red Pill Expo. We had the great Dr. Sherry Tenpenny there, was one of the speakers. And actually, right before arriving, she had her medical license suspended by the Ohio Medical Board. We interviewed Dr. Meryl Nass here, who was subjected to, or they ordered her to submit to a psychiatric evaluation for questioning the government's claims. All over the country, we have talked to doctors who have been ruthlessly persecuted. They're coming after their licenses. They're doing all kinds of stuff. What is going on here, and why is it so dangerous?
Well, I think this is just the tyrants who would be tyrants and who are continuing to be tyrants. And it's all happening in the background where most people cannot even see it. And so there are still doctors all over the country who are fighting for their licenses because they tried to save their patients. They were doctors who were being doctors, who were using their minds, who were using the best science out there, real science, not Fauci science, real science, not FDA science either. And so now you've got the FDA actually saying in court that they should have sovereign immunity if they made any misstatements about ivermectin. Well, no, they should not. So many people's lives were lost because people were having to try and wait for medication to come from India. And for some people, it was too long. And so you still have the bureaucrats in the medical boards that still want to control these doctors. They have found the doctors. They found the doctors who are not going to follow the government hook, line, and sinker. They're not going to follow the protocols. They're going to use their own minds. And now the medical boards, who really are in sync with the government and who are in sync with the health plans and the big hospital systems, they want to rid our society of the doctors who are real doctors, the doctors who want to use their brains and save their patients. And they want to rid America of all the doctors who won't just follow orders. This is a very dangerous time for America, and it's so critical that we keep our rule of law and that these doctors fight against this so that it cannot happen across this country. We have the Wedge of Health Freedom for Independent Doctors at jointhewedge.com. We're building that. We need more doctors, whether they're on the left or the right, but doctors who want to be independent and treat their patients, spend time with their patients, give their patients affordable care, but be there for their patients with whatever they need. And so this is just the bureaucrats gone amok. That's what we have.
Yeah. And you know, people need to realize, too, that it's not just the doctors who are being targeted who are then going to not be able to speak out and speak truth. This has an intimidation effect where every other doctor who might be inclined to speak out is going to say, oh, well, if I do that, my career's over. I can't feed my family. You know, I'm going to have to shut my practice down. So this is really bullying, intimidation, and very, very calculated, very, very dangerous, in my opinion. Twyla, another area that you have focused on lately is the surging insurance costs, right? Even if you're on Obamacare or whatever, and the federal government is taxing your neighbor to pay for your health care, you know, the cost is skyrocketing, and the benefits, you know, other than, you know, being able to transgender yourself and things like that, the benefits are going down. What is happening, and how do we turn that around?
Well, I think that one of the things that people don't understand is when the Affordable Care Act got passed, there's lots of provisions in there where the federal government is going to take control of this, that, and the other thing, right? But one of the things the federal government didn't do is put a limit on how much these health plans, who were put completely in power through the Affordable Care Act, I don't know that people actually know that, but real insurance, the kind with catastrophic coverage, was outlawed under the Affordable Care Act. And the health plans were given the entire market. It was considered a $1 trillion windfall for the health plans. And so there is no control under the Affordable Care Act for how high the premiums can go. And so with there being absolutely nothing to stop where the premiums can go, we have seen them skyrocket. And they will give many reasons for why it is skyrocketing premiums, but it doesn't matter. The fact of the matter is it's becoming more and more unaffordable for Americans to actually buy coverage today, because there's no limit. And because the government has put in all of these mandates on the insurance companies. And so you're seeing double digit increases, and you're still seeing some of the smaller insurance companies that are not as small anymore, you know, finding it difficult to operate in the market. This is one of the ways to move us towards single payer, is to really eliminate who we even have as an option for coverage, until they're working together so closely that we essentially have socialized medicine with a private name on it.
Yep. And a little shout out there to what we use. We decided to opt out of the whole system. My family and me, we're now members of a medical cost sharing program. Costs us a lot less. We don't have to pay for killing babies and other things that we disagree with. And so we're very pleased with that. But no, the insurance market is a mess now. Tyler, we're down to just a few minutes left. I know you guys focus on so many things. The Citizens Council for Health Freedom, you're doing really great work sounding the alarm about the different threats to our freedom. Talk a little bit about the organization. Why are you guys here? What are you doing? And I understand you have a big event coming up with Pete Hegseth soon. Talk about that.
So our organization, Citizens Council for Health Freedom, is a nonprofit and is focused on the patient. So our mission is to protect patient and doctor freedom so that patients and doctors can work together without interference at an affordable price and confidentially. And so this brings us often into the data realm. So we are known a lot for what we do for privacy, because we say he who holds the data makes the rules. And therefore, we spend a lot of time talking about how HIPAA does not protect your privacy, how it was just a way to get access to all of your data. And we're working on laws that would actually restore privacy rights, particularly at the state level, which will get rid of HIPAA's ability to share all of your data. And we're working on genetic privacy. We're building the wedge of health freedom, as I said earlier, to really create a parallel system, a parallel framework of cash-based practices, cash-based laboratories, radiology facilities, and eventually hospitals. We want everything to happen at a cash-based level. And that also means that we want real insurance, which pays you, the patient, who will then pay your doctor and pay your hospital. Nobody gets in the middle. All the prices become transparent. Everything comes down to the pocketbook, or if it's, chronic or catastrophic, of course, then it moves into the insurance level. And so we're trying to protect the ability of patients and doctors to work together. We have an event on September 7th with Pete Hegseth as our keynote speaker. And he so that is September 7th. It's just east of St. Paul, the capital city of Minnesota, just probably about 20 miles outside of the city. We hope everybody who cares about health freedom will come. This is the biggest health freedom fundraising event in the country, because that's all we do is health freedom. So every dollar that we raise, whether we use it when we go to Congress or we help other state legislators like we did in Montana, where we have a new genetic privacy law in Montana because we helped a legislator there, or whether it's here in the state of Minnesota where we're located, everything is about freedom. And we also have a COVID guide, which hundreds of thousands. I just looked it up. It's 141,000 people that have downloaded it. They're still downloading it at 1,000 people a month. And then we have a baby DNA issue at It's My DNA. And so there's lots of things that you can find on our website. at cchfreedom.org. cchfreedom.org.
Excellent. Folks, check it out, cchfreedom.org. Really, they're doing great work, and they've been doing it for a while now. They're not, you know, the Johnny come latelys, and we're thankful for all the people that popped up after COVID, but Twyla and the team have been doing it for a long time. Twyla, thank you for joining us today. Please keep us updated on the many threats to our health freedom. We'd love to have you back very soon, and thanks again for what you're doing.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. All righty, folks, thanks for tuning in. I'm Alex Newman. This is Conversations That Matter for the New American Magazine. Please share this out. Send it to your doctor. Send it to your congressman. Send it to your sheriff, your county commission. We need all hands on deck here if we're going to protect our medical freedom. And we're not going to have freedom at all if we lose our medical freedom. Thanks again for watching. Until next time, God bless you all.
Sophia paused before the door. It read, Department of Bi-Digital Convergence. Just inside was a new world, a better world, the one of everlasting life, of no pain, of no loss, of no problem. She entered the chamber and her surroundings changed. She saw around her an infinite field of waving golden grain surmounted by cloudless blue sky. The AI voice whispered gently in her mind, Welcome to the singularity. She couldn't see it and couldn't feel it, but her body had almost instantly been covered by a swarm of tiny gray multi-legged bots that melted through her clothes and into her skin. Not perceiving the nightmare, her eyes had already been consumed and the rest of her body was dissolving as the bots digested her flesh. She felt only a warmth suffusing her being. Drowsy, she drifted to sleep, and her last thought was one of panic. Would she ever wake? Could a nightmare vision like this be an outcome of the much-hyped transhumanist technological singularity? Enter the world of the future as illuminated by the experience of the past and Endgame. The new book by Dennis Barrett, the publisher of The New American Magazine, and find out how the disastrous COVID pandemic response fits with the technocratic elite's thirst to create a transhumanist utopia. Get Endgame from shopjbs.org with free shipping with code ENDSHIP, ENDSHIP. Or get Endgame and the Great Reset Collector's issue of The New American Magazine and get free shipping plus an additional 20% off both with code N20, END20.